What's going on, Badger Nation? Welcome to the PPC Den podcast, the home of the world's first and longest running podcast all about Amazon advertising, designed to make your Amazon PPC life a little bit easier and a little bit more profitable. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about not losing sight of the forest through the trees, because it's very easy to live in a prison of tips and not have an overarching mental framework in which you apply to your Amazon advertising. So I present to thee an amazing framework for you to think better about your Amazon PPC, connecting it to real business bottom line. I definitely learned something. I expanded my framework. Let's jump in. Here we go.
I've launched campaigns and picked keywords. I've got my bids, set placements too. Now bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my share of wrong keywords, but I've got through. We are the PPC Den, my friend.
Michael from Ad Badger, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
You know, I learn so much from you about parenting, so I always appreciate our conversations about that. I consider you a seasoned sage, so thank you for all the conversations we have about that. I also learn a lot about managing Amazon campaigns from you.
Kind of like children, right?
You know, you play. I've always likened it to a garden, but I guess in some ways it is a little bit like you're trying to influence them the best you can be. You can't control your kids. All you can do is try to guide them the best you can.
Right.
So we had an interesting case where, you know, here at Ad Badger, we manage a tiny roster of clients. And to sort of keep us sharp and learn new things, and so that we can inform some of the things that we do inside our software. And there was a really cool moment because you took on a client recently, and almost immediately you were able to identify some opportunity. And I almost want to call out, like, the theme of this episode is that, and I think it's every episode that you're on, you're an incredibly seasoned person when it comes to thinking of accounts. Like, I think one thing that when people first get into marketing, digital marketing, Amazon marketing, Amazon PPC, it's very easy to get looped into tips and tricks only. Where just like, here's one tip, and then you do that. And then, like, here's another tip. And then you have a collection of tips. You know, you have 20 tips and hacks to, like, do something in an account. And it's very easy to miss the forest through the trees, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I'm curious for you, like, when you started your marketing career, before we get into, like, the real meat of the episode, I'm almost curious, like, if someone's out there, and, you know, maybe they've been doing digital marketing for, you know, a year, maybe 6 months, you know, maybe even 3 years, but they're struggling. How did you, was this a conscious decision that you made to sort of, like, think deeply about marketing? Like, how did you transition from, like, just drowning in tips to actually, like, real marketing prowess?
You know, that's a great question. And like you said, it's so easy just to get hyper-focused on one tip and try to take that to the nth degree. And really, it's kind of pulling back all those things. And I guess maybe, like you said, sort of my background is a little bit different. So I was able to know that Amazon's just one piece of the pie. Yeah, it might be somebody's whole pie for some clients, but most of the time it's just one channel for them. So they're just not hyper-focusing on Amazon the way that we do. And sometimes we get super into the weeds, but it's like pulling back those layers. Okay, well, if we're talking about, like, say, for example, profitability overall on the channel, then we need to start looking at the other things that kind of pull those levers. Well, is it the cost of goods sold? Is it all those production costs and the shipping inbound costs for us? Or is it all the FBA fees that are eating us up? What is it that is really chipping away at that profitability level? So kind of to segue into this episode, I know that when I received this account, there were some things that were a little bit in disarray. One of the things was sort of where the profitability was and where they're really putting emphasis on what particular products are selling. So it was kind of getting back to that. How can we make more revenue in a more profitable way? So kind of taking some of those tips and tricks that I had from my past, having to deal with that and looking at the multiple channels as opposed to just the one hyper-focused Amazon channel.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting in the world of PPC management. One of the most common things to do when, you know, an agency prospects for new clients or, you know, runs an ad or anything like that is to say, like, let us audit your account. Like, let us audit your account. And what are those audits? So first of all, there's a couple of different things that I'll say about audits is, like, you can take any account at any point in time, no matter what, and find things to do, right? It's like, no, nothing is ever perfect. Yep. You can take that Olympic athletes who are in the perfect condition, just won gold medals, still have coaches that are giving them feedback of things to do. Does that mean, like, so, like, there's different levels. So, like, that's one thing about audits that I'll say is, like, you can audit any account at any point in time and come up with a laundry list of new things. And it's also, there's no context in audits. There's normally, like, currently, well, it's possible that things are being tested, things are being tweaked.
Right.
I have a lot to say about audits. They're effective, but, like, as a marketing tool, it's almost like a little gimmicky in some degrees. Like, a true audit takes a lot of time. And one thing you get the luxury of is when you first get to know a client, you can do that deep audit. Like, you can spend a lot of time talking to the client, hearing the stories of what they've done and what they've tried. You can sort of dig in deeper to the account further than just the base level, right? Like,
right.
Don't get me wrong, like, checks and balances are really good. Like, checking to see what our percentage of sponsored products versus sponsored brand versus sponsored display. Having a checklist, like, do you have sponsored brand video running? Like, do, you know, there's definitely things that you can do that are almost like rote and routine. But, like, it's not until you get to the deeper level, which is like, what's the company history with their marketing? What's the company standings in the marketplace? What is a typical profitability margin? Kind of profitability margin is the client looking for? What are we trying to accomplish? Those questions take a lot of time to answer that you often can't get on a first pass. You know, people have told me before, you know, sometimes at one stage in my career, somebody was like, let me tell you all about my company. I'm like, I don't need to know about the company. I can just get in there. I don't even need to know what you sell. I can improve this account. And that's true. But, like, there's a really big shift once you do get to that deeper level. So, like, tell me what you noticed. Let's go back to this account. What do you like to do first? Do you like to look at the account, get a sense of the account before talking to the business owner? Or do you like to talk to the business owner first and then go into the account? What do you like to do first?
Yeah, it's totally a good question. The way that I approach it is I do not like to have any contact with them at all. Not even to hear their tone of voice or the way that they describe their business or anything like that, because sometimes they'll put a slant on the way that you should be interpreting the data. Because I noticed that sometimes I've also guilty of that, where, like, I had an entrepreneur that was super excited about a product and they're like, this is the best thing ever. And I was fully invested in their sales pitch, right? Or I thought it was too, but I just couldn't get it to sell on Amazon. Now I need to look at it in a more objective way. And that's why I don't like to have those conversations before I audit an account or even look at it in a deeper glance, like you said there, and really look at the data and let the data show me where to go. So that's the way that I approach it, is I don't like any contact first.
And there's this concept that we talk about sometimes, which is, like, zoom out before you zoom in. Sure. And I think one thing that you, so like, what does zooming out mean to you when you are approaching and thinking about growth on Amazon?
Yeah. So it's just all the market factors that are happening right now. Like one of the major things that has happened recently is, you know, the whole FBA fee restructuring. Mm-hmm. So as we're doing that, and as we're looking at the context of where our profitability is, that is part of the larger conversation because, yeah, I mean, the way that we're being charged now working on Amazon is a little bit different than it has been in the past. So are we going to need to change the way that we are spending our money on Amazon? You know, does advertising need to be a smaller percentage of our pie? Do we have less to spend in other areas? Do we need to find ways to reduce costs in, you know, particular areas to try to combat that additional FBA? And I know that the answer is usually yes, because we want to try to get down to as little amount of amount that we're spending there on the products. But yeah, it's really taking a grand step back to look at the whole ecosystem of Amazon and everything that's happening. The other thing too is all the other competitors. Is there somebody new that's large that has come in? One of the major brands, one of the larger players, are they stealing a lot more of the market share and digital shelf space? That's all going to impact immediately. So definitely take a step back. I like to look at all that and then jump into the finer details after that.
So one thing that you mentioned is that you noticed the account itself wasn't set up for profitability. It's as if the whoever was managing it previously was maybe managing it in accordance to good principles, but it was almost out of step with profitability to the point where the brand manager wasn't even aware certain particular products, what the profitability was, how much they were spending on a per product basis. How do you discover that basically? Like, so if someone's out there and is maybe in this spot where like they're trying to make optimizations, they're trying to get stuff done, their profitability is low. Like, how would you recommend that they begin to put together the story where they can truly understand the profitability?
Yeah. And that's one thing too, is that when we're looking at an account, like you said, nothing's ever going to be perfect. So whenever I'm jumping into an account, I never fault the previous person, the previous brand manager or previous agency, because there's always something that can be improved. And maybe they got into a situation where they're like, okay, well, we're going to run a ton of promotions last month. Well, that's a whole different set than where I'm at right now. So when I'm looking at that and looking at, say, profitability per product, it's really about having a good tool behind you and being able to have a tool do a lot of the heavy lifting for you to be able to report out on particular things. Now, the tool that we're currently using is able to break out profitability by products, or we can look at the entire brand itself and the profitability there. So it's really looking at that and combining having a great tool and that data really broken out for you, and then having that conversation with the client. And sometimes it's a hard conversation to have with them because we need to know what their level of comfort is with profitability. Now, with this client in particular, I was lucky because they gave me a number. They're like, okay, this is our focus number. We want to hit this level of profitability. And they gave me an exact number. So I knew I had a target. Sometimes we need to back into that where it's like we need to go through the exercise of, okay, well, how much margin do you have? Okay, how much do you want to keep, and going through that. But it's that open line of communication with the client. It always comes back to that.
And it's almost like when you do take this per product view, you are able to maybe step away from just the tips, right? Like the tips could be like,
yeah,
let me look at this campaign, change the top of search placement percentage. Like you can do that stuff all day, but you really need to break it down on a per product basis and look at how much are you actually spending per product. And it's actually really interesting. When I look at this account's performance now, every single product is in the green in terms of units sold up. So like the first product, 57% increase. Second product, 4,000%. So that one's at 41. So it was probably really low in the beginning. Next product, 56% increase. Next product, their biggest seller, 6% increase. The second biggest seller, 5% increase. The next one, 13%. Next one, 18%. So every single one of them was increased. And I feel like it would have been really easy for you to miss this per product optimization if you didn't take that zoom out view and like, let me analyze spend per product sales per product, profitability per product. Like I can actually push these in an individual manner. Like how did your campaign structure change to facilitate this per product increase?
Yeah. So one of the things that we did is utilize the tool that we have. And like you said, it breaks it out per product. So what I found through the data is that our second highest revenue producing product was not very profitable. In fact, it was in the red. So that was something that I needed to change right away. And I wanted to start selling our third largest or third highest grossing product because that one was very profitable and start spending more money there as far as advertising spend goes. So it was really the shift in budget. And the way that we really got to that is everything is partitioned out. So using our portfolio structure and our campaign structure to really make sure that we have things essentially in silos for each one of the products. So each one of the products is broken out individually with separate campaigns in each one of their portfolios so I can see how much I'm spending per product and then be able to rearrange the budget appropriately based on the profitability margin. Now, with this particular client, each one of these products has a different COGS associated with it. And some of them are a lot higher margin or a lot higher percentage. That COGS is a lot higher percentage than the total sales or the total selling price. So I need to take that into account too, because some of them are 2 to 3 times more expensive for them to produce. And I just need to make sure that I'm keeping that in mind as I'm spending money towards that. But yeah, it's just making sure that we have the appropriate tool that's coupled with our campaign structure, which is all siloed out through portfolios.
Something that is able to tell you product sales, how much you spent on advertising, selling fees, fulfillment and shipping, cost of goods sold,
yes,
that type of thing.
Exactly.
It's funny how that's a task, right? Like you could get all that information from Amazon, but it's a bit of a task to get that out of Amazon. Yeah. I guess the next question I have is like, for some of these products, I imagine that they didn't have a dedicated campaign or they didn't have the visibility that you wanted them to have. Could you just walk us through one of the campaign setups for any of these particular products? Like when do you decide to group things or break things out?
Yeah, for sure. The one thing that I really look at is kind of what was happening before. And really I look at who had this account previously and the way that they were setting up their campaigns, because there's a certain way that I like to do it. And I like to have certain checkboxes, you know, lit up for me on my side. But what was the legacy data telling me? Because I always like to keep that intact if I can. So like, let's just say, for example, they were running an auto campaign, but they weren't running it with the settings that I usually have it on. Well, I might revamp that auto campaign and just rearrange the structure of it, but keep all that data intact because I like to try to use all the old stuff with the old data. Just because Amazon likes to see some of the old things sort of be revitalized sometimes if they've been stopped, and that kind of helps too. Now I've done that with this account in particular. So I've kind of done both approaches. There's been that of lighting up some of the older stuff and just monitoring and making sure that it's working appropriately. And if it's not, don't be totally afraid to scrap it. If it's not working, it's not working. And then we start anew and I'll restart some things. Now in this case in particular, it has been working, so I do that. The second part of that is I found some gaps in the coverage, so I've ended up plugging those gaps. Now those particular things, targets that I like to have on there with my campaigns, like for example, defensive. I thought their defensive structure was not as strong as it should be, where people were getting on my product display page and really owning that real estate on my page. That's something that I didn't want them to do. So I bolstered my defensive campaigns quite a bit because that was a hole that I saw that was there. But like I said, it was kind of the old and the new.
Let's shift gears to sort of the second part of this, which was lightning deals, which can be incredibly effective at gaining sales, but can really hurt profitability versus brand tailored promotions. You know, how far back did you have to go to sort of study lightning deals? I guess, well, tell me this, like, how do you feel about lightning deals for this particular account after scanning through the data?
So I think it all goes back to that communication with the client. Now, it's great to have them tell you that story, but then also have the level of comfort with them where you're able to tell them kind of the hard, cold facts and to be able to really build that relationship with the client so that they're willing to trust you to try something different. Now, in the past, when I took over this account, they're like, they told me, okay, well, we're okay with running promotions, we're okay with running coupons, and we're okay with lighting up a lightning deal if you want to. And those are all fine, and I think they all have a great time and a place for them, but I don't think it's a continuous situation that you should get yourself involved in, which is, it seemed like might have been a trap because it was an easy way to gain revenue really quickly for maybe the previous owner of the account. So I think that what they did is they relied on that maybe a little bit too much, and I didn't have to chase the data too far. As he did ask that question, it was even the previous month before we took over the account, where if you're looking at an apples to apples comparison, in this case, we did spend about half on promotional fees this month where we've had the account versus the previous month. And I know that they were running other coupons and other promotions on that side. And we had kind of shifted that to Brand Tailored Promotions taking the lead.
So that's really interesting. And as far as I know, shifting from lightning deals to a more Brand Tailored Promotions setup actually led to more profit and more revenue. Is that right?
That's correct. Now, I want to speak about the previous data because they didn't run a lightning deal in the last month, the last cycle. They were running more coupons and that sort of discount structure. So it wasn't a lightning deal specifically. I did see some lightning deals in the past with the account, but I was taking that previous month versus this month where they were running those coupons. Now, running those coupons, and essentially like a brand tailored promotion, you can give the same amount of discount if you want to, but we actually decided to go a little bit on the lower end of the discount spectrum to try that approach and see if we could get away with it. And
right,
like I had mentioned to you, we cut our promotion fees by half. So we're actually gaining more revenue this month than we did last month, gross revenue. And then we're able to cut that, those fees, those promotion fees by half for them.
There's six kind of brand tailored promotions that you can run. Brand followers, repeat customers, recent customers, high spend customers, potential new customers, and cart abandoners. Do you know which one is doing the best right now?
Right now it's cart abandoners. That's the one that's doing the best for us. That is also the one that we've been running the longest. So one of the other things that I'm making sure that I'm building trust with the client as we're going through this process of developing the relationship and all of that, well, I knew that historically that works very well. So I'm like, okay, well, let's try this on the account. Let's see what we can get out of it. And it worked great. So I eased into using the other brand tailored promotions, and now we're using all of them. And they're all producing, and they're all returning at different rates, but definitely the cart abandoners is really the one that's working best for us.
I love it. And just in case someone out there has not ran a brand tailored promotion before, we've talked about it on the show before, but what exactly is it?
It's just a coupon, essentially, is what it is for those different segments. So it's kind of like a coupon slash sponsor display slash a DSP type of ad. It's really kind of a hybrid, I guess you can call it, because they do segment audiences and certain groupings of potential customers, and they break them out for you, so you don't need to do any of that data manipulation to try to find those groups. But then you can send out this coupon in particular to that particular grouping of clients. So as you had mentioned, there's a multitude of different segments of them, and each one has their own unique set of clients in them.
I love it. So I think the framework that I hope somebody walks away with from this episode is go deep with the data, right? Like, you want to go beyond even just the advertising. And I think that's becoming more and more true, right? I think it's becoming more and more true because at one point in time, when competition was a little bit softer, you could assume that if you improve the advertising account, like make revenue go up and make ACoS go down, that you could assume that there was an incredibly strong chance that profitability would also go up, because like the swings were so big, right? Like if I can increase the revenue by 25% here, then of course profitability will go up. And I don't think that's a guarantee anymore. I actually do think we, just with the way that the ecosystem has evolved, on Amazon, it is very possible for someone to increase revenue 10% on advertising and have profitability go down. I think it is even possible based on product profit margins that you can make A cost go down, you can make total A cost go down and not increase your profitability, right? Like you were mentioning different products with different profitability levels. People can be surprised to hear that, oh, my total A cost got lower, it improved, but actually my profitability did not improve because maybe I'm getting better sales on a product that's less profitable. So I think that is a framework that is really valuable to sort of have a process in your Amazon marketing overarching strategy to really evaluate this. Like, what are my profit margin per product? What is my profit margin doing as my overall A costs per product change? I think those are really valuable things to have in our mind when we think about advertising, because it's more than just changing a campaign structure or, you know, setting a placement bid. It really is like stepping back and thinking of how advertising is impacting each individual product or the business. And then because of that, it shortcuts you with your optimizations. It's like tells you exactly where to go. Like you saw that the second highest revenue product was actually lower profitability. So like it just told you what to do. Like it's like, oh, okay, like I don't need to rack my brain for, you know, the most complicated campaign structure ever. It's like I know exactly what product is causing me trouble and I can go and take action on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that we were talking about this before we actually started this episode, but it's like, where do we stop that conversation now? Before it was at ACOS, then it moved to Tacos. Is it profitability now? Has it always been profitability? And I know Clement and I have talked about this subject quite a bit offline, is about the profitability of the overall account and kind of where we take that and how it guides the conversation. And I know that right now in particular, I'm having this conversation with a client right now where I have a certain Tacos level that they think is optimum. Well, it might not be, because the profitability level, as we start to drop that Tacos, the profitability level starts to drop as well too. So as that Tacos raises, their profitability is actually increasing a little bit. So it's having that hard conversation. Do we need to have a different Tacos target?
I think every single person working in marketing really needs to connect the dots between overall business profitability and whatever the thing that there is that they're doing. If you are a copywriter or a graphic designer or anything, you really need to connect the dots between whatever the thing is that you're doing and bottom line for the customer. Because I think that, like, if you think about the amount of stuff that you do today on Amazon, you're way more productive today than you were 5 years ago, 7 years ago. In the sense of, like, you're able to get a lot more done faster and more efficiently. So because of that, you can almost work your way up the value ladder for any brand that you're working with. So I think that's like a really key thing to pay attention to connect the dots to profitability. I think it's going to become more and more valuable. Yeah, for sure. Well, I hope we gave people a framework to better understand and get to the thing that they need to optimize, for sure. So, Michael, thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, anytime. It was great being back on.
Yes, I'm still trying to get to your level to develop the sage-like wisdom that you have that you always share on the show. So thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you.